Proverbs chapter 27. And it's verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So I'm thinking with you this evening of the sinner's refuge or the sinner's hiding place. I'm sure you're aware of the story behind the writing of the hymn by Augustus Toplady, the hymn "Rock of Ages Cleft for Me." I'm told if you go to Cheddar Gorge, they have a rock there that they call Toplady's, and it's allegedly, whether true or not, I'm not aware, I can't say yea or nay, but I've seen the rock where Toplady was said to have sheltered from a great storm, and this gave him the desire, the reason for the writing or compiling of the hymn. The thought came to him as he sheltered from the storm. How the sinner may find shelter from the storms of God's wrath. How that rock that cleft he stood back in become a shelter for him from the storm. And how the sinner needs a refuge, a shelter from God's wrath and from judgment to come. He wrote the hymn then, apparently, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power." Now, I'm turning to, as I've said, Proverbs 27 and to verse 12, and you'll see that the proverb deals with one who hides himself, a prudent man, because he foresees evil, hides himself, but the simple passes on and is punished. So I'm just going to pick through the text with you and ask you to consider whether you are sheltering, whether you are hiding in Christ, whether you are sure you have a place where the very wrath and judgment of God will not touch you. First of all, notice then, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. It's a wise person. It's a, well, in a bad sense, and remarkable as it might sound, this word that's used here is more often used in the bad sense for cunning and craftiness. Of course, here, because it can be used in a right sense, in a good sense, here it means craft, but in a wise sense, in a good sense. Here's a smart person. Here's someone spiritually wise. It's contrasted with the simple in the text. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple, and there's the contrast, the prudent is the spiritually wise person, the enlightened person, the person who sees something and does something about it. He sees there is great danger. He sees there is something he must do. He will not ignore. He will not pretend it's not there. He will not go into denial. But in foreseeing the evil approach, he hides himself from it, whilst the simple, the foolish person just carries on regardless. Indeed, there's a little picture when it comes to the word pass on. It's probably taken from a going over the sea or crossing a river. And there is a danger and there are warning signs there to the person who's about to attempt to swim over or cross over in a vessel. But the warning signs are all there that says, don't do this. You're going to come to a great disaster. It will not end well, but the simple, the foolish pass on, cross over, and are punished. So I'm just again going to pick through this. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. Well, they're like those, or he or she is like those little creatures and animals that instinctively prepare for winter. They know the seasons. God has placed it in them. It may not be some great intellect, or they get together and discuss what's about to come. They just know instinctively, now's the time to gather in. Now's the time to store. Now's the time to hibernate. Perhaps you know the fable of the frog and the frogs that were all gathered round the pond, and how they were all discussing when it would be best to go and dive to the bottom of the pond and hibernate. And one particular little frog, he decided he would stay on. He would just linger around. The days were good. He saw no reason. And of course the fable ends in disaster for him, because he holds back and holds back. All the little frogs, even ones a bit like himself, thought they could push it a little further. Well, even they had gone. And there he was, all alone, blissful. Loneliness, but fun. Now, how he didn't feel the cold, but it's a fable. And he waited and waited. And he felt it getting a little bit chilly. And then he hopped to the edge of the bank and, time to go now, I'll join the others. And he hopped, and splat, the ice had already formed. Too late for the little frog. Well, it's a fable, and I'm sure the children that hear laugh, but of course, the moral of the fable is doing things in time. Don't leave it too late. Whatever that might have been applied to when that was originally written or spoken. But here, and this is no fable, this is the word of God, and it says to man, be ready. A wise man foresees the evil. He sees what's coming. He's conscious of what's coming. Do you consider, as an unsaved person, what will be your end? Do you seriously think about what's ahead, what's in front of you? Do you look anymore? Are you like the little frog in the fable? It's only here and now. It's what's about me. Distracted. Not prepared to look ahead. No, that's the simple. The simple just cross over. The simple are not aware of the dangers. The simple don't think about the danger. They're not making preparation. They're living for the here and now and postpone everything. They don't want to see beyond what's in front of them, right in front of them. The immediate. Not beyond it. Yet how clear are the scriptures on these things? Well, the prudent man foreseeth. He doesn't walk, she doesn't walk in denial. They see it. It's clear. It's abundantly clear. Well, surely if you read the scripture, if you've heard the gospel, you're conscious, you're aware of what's before you. Will you deeply consider? Will you respond? Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's not just thinking it's out there and push it all back and continue with my life in my own independent way, pleasing myself, living for myself. A prudent man foresees the evil. He sees it coming. He's realistic. She's realistic. They're realistic about themselves. They look at themselves in more than one context, more than one way. I'm not just a physical being. They're prepared to consider this. The simple won't. No, they're listening. If they're listening to anything, the propaganda that says, well, basically, that's all you are. You're just a physical being, a biological being. They don't consider the spiritual dimension at all. No, that's forgotten about. That's ignored. It's the wise that realizes why the most, if we put it as simply as this, as we might to the children, the most important part of us is the spirit, is the soul. The body will soon succumb the ravages of time, sickness. That is, if there hasn't been an accident before, or we're smitten down with some disease that we couldn't see coming. That can happen. But even if it follows a course that multitudes follow, and it's simply time, just a matter of time, the days are marching by. Think what's beyond and what is coming. Remember, you are a spirit being. Remember physically, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. But remember, that's nothing in comparison to the spirit, to the endurance, to eternity. No, here, the prudent man foreseeth the evil. He realizes I'm a spirit being as well as physical and biological. He realizes and acknowledges I'm tainted. I'm stained. If I stand before God as I am, infinite purity and holiness, I will be banished. I will be cast aside. I will be cast out. There will be no place found for me in the kingdom of Christ. He doesn't deny that. She doesn't deny that. They consider these things. They think about them. Here is my latter end. Here is where I will end up. Here's where I will be for all eternity. And of course, it's irrecoverable. You cannot come back from there. That's it. Crossover from this life. And that's it. Our state is fixed. Oh, surely you value your soul enough to consider it, to foresee, to look ahead, to reflect on what the scriptures say will be the end of the unsaved and those who have no hiding place. No, you will be exposed to the judgment, to the wrath, to the storms. Top lady found himself, if the little story and account about him is true, he found himself a rock. He had a shelter. He wasn't exposed to the storm. He could stand back in. He could watch it, the torrential rain, as it would beat down. He was dry. He was safe. Well, you see, those sheltering in Christ are safe. Judgment will not touch them. No punishment for them. Why, our rock has borne it. It all fell upon him. And we are safe and sheltered in Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. That's what the wise person has done. They have come with that prayer and they have prayed it unto Christ. It may not have been in those words, but it was, Lord, save me a sinner. Forgive me, pardon me, cleanse me. Let me be found in thee on that last day. Let me be one of your people. Let me die believing, hoping in Christ, sheltering from the wrath to come. Well, a prayer can do that. Repentance, faith, looking, calling, seeking his forgiveness. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And again, as I've mentioned, it has to be in Christ. I'm sure, and I hope again it doesn't bore you, but my little illustration of the child hiding, you know, playing hide and seek and no real concept of dimensions. Run and stand behind the little stool, head and shoulders above it, 3 or 4 inches either side of it, but thinking they're hiding. And the old granddad or mom or dad says, where is so-and-so? I can't see them. Where are they? There they are, as clear as anything. Flimsy little covering, doesn't hide them. That's funny. But when you apply this spiritually, what does the sinner do? What do many do? It's the wise man, the prudent, that foreseeth the evil, and they know it's great and it's deserving, and they know they need a great hiding place. They need a perfect hiding place. They need one who can secure and protect them from the very wrath of Almighty God and his holy justice. It has to be Christ. But multitudes are standing behind that little stool of their own self-righteousness. Can you picture and imagine it? That's the picture. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Yes, in a most wonderful place. In a glorious place, in a perfect place, indeed the only place, for it's Christ. It's in him we have to find our shelter, our refuge, our protection, our righteousness. And he's there and willing and able. The prudent, the wise, who will consider, who will think of themselves as spirit and body. And so, who will consider the judgment that is to come? Who will heed God's word? Who will listen to texts like we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Who will also accept what the scripture teaches when it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. When it says we are filthy, that's exactly what we are. The wise person, the prudent, says, oh, that's me. And he hides. He runs to Christ. Some of you are aware of the man in the bed opposite Jack in the hospital. We had a marvelous opportunity to speak to. And just speaking to him, asking him his background, he said he didn't really go to church much at all, but he did go to Sunday school. But it was patently clear he knew the gospel. He clearly understood. In fact, he said, I'm a very bad sinner. Well, so are you. so am I. Do you know a good sinner? Are there any good sins? Won't each of them condemn you? But oh, the pleasure to say to him, look away to Christ. He said, I've lived without God all my life. It would be a churlish thing now to give him the dregs and the last hours or days or whatever of my life. Salvation is by grace. It's all of grace. Look at the dying thief. Look at the prodigal son. Look to Christ. Run and shelter in him. Don't be left exposed. Hide yourself. Run and look to Christ. Ask him to shelter you and to shield you. But notice then, but the simple pass on and are punished. Well, I've given you the picture that's there. The warning signs are all there, but the simple still cross over. They still pass on. Everything says don't. Everything says stop. You've come, as it were, or they have, to the river. They can see the swelling waters. They can see it's much deeper than before. They can see the swirl, perhaps, that signifies there are very strong undercurrents. But they want to get over the other side. Everything says don't, not today. But they cross over. They pass on. And they pass on to punishment. Pass on to disaster. The picture would conclude, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's our end. It's just, it's right, it's proper, for we're sinners and God is holy. We're responsible, we're accountable. There is no justification for sin. There may be things that mitigate some of our sins. God, who is infinitely pure and holy, will consider all things, but bottom line, outside of Christ, guilty sinners, condemned already. Don't cross over. Don't press on. Let me just close with some of these words from the psalm that we read together, Psalm 91. Don't they beautifully present the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to save, his power to shelter? Just read the words again. Why, in that context, they speak for themselves. Look at the first two verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. There's Christ, a towering fortress, a refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. No storm will beat upon me there. None of God's wrath will touch me. Sheltered in the fortress and in Christ, I am perfectly safe in him. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. We have his wonderful words, his glorious promises. We have his invitation. We have his call. He took these very words and he showed they are plainly his. It's plainly about him. How often, he said, would I have gathered you as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. They would not. They would pass on. They would cross over. They wouldn't look to him. Verses 4-7. I'll read from 5 because I've read 4. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When the simple pass on, by the thousands they fall. They are falling around us. Walk into our hospitals. Walk into the places of the dying. How many of the multitudes that are leaving the world even as we speak? How many thousands die by the second? How many are lost? How many have pressed or passed on, as it were? But for every 10,000, there's at least the ones and the twos. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But the believer is told, it shall not come nigh thee. For you, believer, are sheltered in Christ. No wrath, no judgment. No affliction from God, no punishment, protection indeed on earth until God's appointed time, but think eternally. Again, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, and listen, this is clearly about Christ, isn't it? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You'll be aware Satan quoted this, of course, to Christ when he said, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. He will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Christ would not yield or submit to the temptation, of course, because that would have been to test and to prove God. You don't do things and put yourself in danger deliberately and look to God. This is the promise that as we live our life, and as we find or are sheltered in Christ, what's true of Christ will be true of all who are sheltered in him. Yes, indeed, he will bear us up, or they will bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We will enter eternity. There will be no judgment, no punishment. He has given his angels charge over us. Because, verse 14, he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Well, again, of Christ. Isn't that true? Oh, but if we trust in him, it's true of us. It's equally true of us. He will lift us up. He will set us on high. He will call us on high. We will be with Christ eternally. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Christ is enthroned. Christ was raised. Christ was exalted. Christ reigns. And all his people in him follow him, the first fruits. How safe, how secure. Oh, are you sheltering in Christ? Are you still numbered amongst the simple who pass on? And if you continue, will pass out into judgment and punishment. That's eternal, never ending. But the prudent, the wise, foreseeth the evil. Evil in the sense of what you will experience. It'll be holy justice. Oh, but it will be evil to you. They see it coming. And they hideth. They run to Christ. They shelter in him. We're going to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Make this your prayer. Call upon the Lord. Look to him. Consider what you are. Consider your spiritual state and condition. Consider Christ, who's able to save you and cleanse you and give you eternal life. Rock of Ages, cleft for me.